Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, open up our hearts and our minds that we might know, live, and share your love in your name. Amen. I love you, Mom. Those were the last words I ever spoke to my mom. It was the summer of 1979, and I was working at Glacier National Park in Montana. My mother was back on Long Island. She was in the hospital. She was recovering from a broken leg. And I called to see how she was doing. And I ended that conversation with those words, "I love you, Mom." Now, what you need to know that wasn't a common thing for my mom and I to say to each other. In fact, I can't really tell you when was the last time that I had actually told her that I'd loved her before that moment. But a day later, I got a phone call that she passed away. And in all the griefs and all the sadness that I've had over the years, I am thankful for that one thing, that the last words that she and I spoke to each other were that we loved one another. You know, consequently, I never miss an opportunity to say I love you to Linda or to Hillary. And I make sure that the last words I speak when I leave the house or when I call them on the phone or even text them or email them is to say those words. And maybe it's a bit morbid, but I always want those to be the last words that are spoken. You know, surveys show that wives wish their husbands would say, "I love you," more often. Yet true love is not just something we say. True love is found in what we do. What actions do we take that shows that love? What is it that demonstrates that love, that acts on that love? So what is love? Well, that's our topic for this morning. Today is the last of the 5-Sunday series on different attributes that we live out in our resurrection faith. So far, we've looked at, as children of the resurrection, we work for justice. We are advocates for justice. We want to include all people. We want to live a simpler life. We want to live a life of generosity. And so today, we look at the attribute of love. Now, this morning could be the longest sermon I have ever preached. Because you do a quick biblical software study on the word of love, and it comes up with a count of 641 verses in which the word love is used in the Bible. So let's begin looking at all of them. Verse number 1. No. Or, this could be the shortest sermon I've ever preached, because you can summarize love in just 3 words. So what is love? That's the dynamic question, isn't it? Poets, songwriters, philosophers, theologians, they've been trying to define what love is from maybe even the very beginning of time. But if we want to gain a biblical understanding of love, we go to our first lesson. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 13. Perhaps one of the best known biblical passages on love. And also probably the one passage that has been spoken at every wedding since the beginning of time. It is the greatest definition and explanation of love. Now Paul begins by telling us just how important love is. If I speak in different languages, or even languages of angels, if I could speak that well, but I don't have love, I'm just a bunch of noise, noisy bells or clanging cymbals. If I have a gift of prophecy, if I understand all of the secrets of God and have all the knowledge of God, and if I have the faith to say to that mountain, "Pick yourself up and throw yourself into the water," if I have all of that, but I don't have love, I have nothing. If I'm willing to give everything I have to feed the poor, if I'm even willing to give up my life, but I don't have love, then I don't gain anything. If we have it all, says Paul, and we don't have love, we have nothing. You know, one of the things that I routinely say to volunteers, especially when a volunteer has to do 2 jobs or more and filling in that way, I tell them, you know, that because you've done that extra work, we're doubling your salary. Which, of course, leads to the mathematical lesson that says, since a volunteer's salary is zero, you multiply that by two, and you still get zero. One of the largest numbers that people have recorded is called the Googleplex, Googleplex, which, by the way, was named before Google bought out everything. But it is a number one followed by 100 zeros. And if you multiply that number by zero, well, the answer is still the same. Zilch, zero, nothing. Without love, Paul tells us, we have nothing. It is that important. Yet he still hasn't quite given us a definition. So he goes on. He tells us what love is and what love isn't. Love is patient. That's hard sometimes. Love is kind, a little bit easier to do. Love is not jealous. We have our moments. Love doesn't brag. Sometimes we do. It isn't arrogant. It isn't rude. It doesn't seek its own advantage. It isn't irritable with someone else. It doesn't keep a record of complaints. Two husbands were talking, and one said, "You know, when my wife argues with me, she gets real historical." And said, "Well, don't you mean hysterical?" She says, "No, historical. She brings up all the past things." Love doesn't keep record of the past complaints. It isn't happy with injustice. It's happy with the truth. It puts up with all things. It trusts all things. It hopes for all things. It endures all things. Now, I want you to notice again that love is not just the word that is spoken. It's not just even an emotion that is felt. It's not something that's isolated just within ourselves. Love is connected with another person. Love is an action. True love is a willingness to give of yourself to another person, not for your own sake, but for their sake, and to do it freely. Because it isn't regulated or controlled by that person's response. Now, the best act of love that we can find is what God does for you and me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son to die for us. The gospel in a nutshell, that's what Martin Luther called that passage from John 3:16. And it says that God doesn't just say He loves the world. God doesn't just say to you and me that God loves us. He acts. He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to suffer and dies on the cross for those times when we failed to love. 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave us His Son for the sacrifice of our sins. Not for ours only, but for that of the whole world." And then later on in chapter 4 of 1 John 19, He says, "We love because He first loved us." That's it. That's the secret of true love. Love does not come from within ourselves. Love's source is not found from within. Love comes only through God, only through His Son, Jesus Christ. Love comes only through what God has given us first. And filled with that love, we are able to give to one another. You know, it was that love that was the early mark of the Christian church. It was that love that Christians showed to one another that intrigued people. As the small church gatherings of the early Christian church got together in homes, people from the outside looked in and they were intrigued by what they saw. They saw a group of people who didn't just talk about love, but people who lived it, who shared it. They took care of the poor in their midst. They made sure that everyone was fed. They gave of their possessions when anyone was in need. They fellowshiped together. They shared their meals together. They had fun together. Mainly, they worshiped together. They worshiped and gave their praise and their thanksgiving for all that God has done. People saw that behavior and they were attracted to it. They wanted to know, what was it that made this group different? Why did the people act this way? They were drawn to the fact that they did not find this kind of love anywhere else in their lives. And the early church grew because people lived and shared with others the love they received from God. So for you and I, To discover the true nature and the source of God, of love, we must look to God. God's love is not dependent on our response. It always reaches out towards us. God's love, God loves us. God doesn't love us because we are so lovable. In fact, God doesn't even need to love us. Rather, we need His love. And in sending His Son, Jesus Christ, He demonstrates what love truly is. That's it. That's what love is. Remember I said in the beginning of the message that love can be defined in three words? Well, those words come from 1 John 4:8. And it simply says, God is love. In His name. Amen.